This is the Midday 180, queued up by Angeli's Barbecue, with Jonathan Hutton, Chad Withrow, and Paul Kuharsky.
Midday 180, queued up by Angeli's Barbecue on 104.5 The Zone. Final hour is here. Paul, look at the time. Look at the time.
It's almost time to eat.
The week is flown by. The final hour is here. And the three-day weekend is approaching.
Daddy's got to eat.
John McClain is coming up at 1:15, and we'll hit some headlines in just a moment. There was a moment last night in the midday mixer, which I'll mention here. If you want to be in the final midday mixer for this time period where we're socially distanced, you can join us next Thursday. It's the last one. Chances are, I'm speaking on behalf of the entire show. Chances are we're going to go all out to make this the grand finale. And you can join us by sending us a DM on Twitter, on Facebook, on Instagram. It's all presented by Nelson's Greenbrier Distillery, home of the Tennessee whiskey, the original Tennessee whiskey, and Bellmead Bourbon. Charlie Nelson, Andy Nelson, fantastic partners with this. They've been pleased with it. We've been thrilled with the response. And last night was the best mixer we've had so far. In fact, there comes a point in time where Paul does something in the mixer last night, which is off the record, that will go down as a moment that we will never speak on, much like John McClain's band name.
I mean, I think we could say what it was without saying what it was.
Okay. I'll let you do that because it's your ownership of the material.
Moment. I was kind of surprised that I had it, but we were talking about an incident. And listen, yeah. We cover some incidents in these in these mixers. We've been in some incidents. I've been involved in some incidents. And I have a voicemail related to one of these incidents that I found. Somebody raised the incident. I'm going to use the word incident a lot here. Somebody brought up this incident, and we had a thorough discussion of this incident. And during the conversation about this incident, I rolled out and played into this lovely Yeti microphone on speakerphone, a voicemail that was in the middle of this incident with somebody thoroughly discussing their side of this incident with me.
So glorious. That's why Reed, you want to be in the mixer. That's why you want
to play this for Reed.
That's why you want to be in the mixer.
It was, I didn't even realize how big a moment this was until we were, as we do, finished with the mixer. And then we were discussing it, and you guys were like saying, this is an all-time moment for us, this playing of this voicemail.
It is for me, like I laughed so hard when I heard this back. It was the first time in years I had heard this voicemail.
See, I didn't even know that it was playing well enough for people to hear it. And you know, I'm concerned with the mechanics of playing it. So I'm not even really watching the reaction. I'm holding the phone up to the microphone trying to make sure that mechanically things are working. So you have to tell the other side about hearing it.
Loud and clear. And then everyone stays muted for the most part, except for us and maybe two or three others who have their hands raised to ask questions, keep the conversation going. So there wasn't anyone talking over the audio. And you're listening to it as if Paul is playing back an interview off of his tape recorder. I mean, it was loud and clear. Point was made. Let's put it that way.
So this one is the incident.
Yeah. Quite an incident. Monday on 104.5 The Zone for the holiday. Some are taking off a little early on this Friday into the holiday weekend. The Zone is not. We're live and local on Friday. But on Monday, on the actual holiday, you can listen to Titans throwback games. And there are plenty from last year to point to. All of the top moments from the Titans season last year will be throughout the day on 104.5 The Zone and Titans Radio, starting at 7 a.m. with the Chargers matchup. That, of course, was Tannehill's first start and the goal line stand that gave Tannehill his first win as the starter and propelled the Titans forward. Now, I say that with a little hesitation because they did play Carolina soon after, and that didn't go so well. But that was one of the moments that you'll point to because of the AFC victory that kept them in contention going into the playoff scenarios of Week 17. And it ends with, of course, the Baltimore game. The Patriots game will be featured as well at 3 p.m., I believe, 5 p.m. for the Baltimore matchup. And then Super Bowl I, the first airing of the CBS broadcast in its entirety, between the Chiefs and Packers from the 60s. That will air Monday evening at 7 p.m. That's cool. I'm making a note in my calendar to at least tune in to a portion of that personally, just to see the mechanics of that's the sound of the broadcast then for Super Bowl I. The interaction between announcers when then it was more of a PA announcement and let the video talk for you, right?
Yeah. I think it'll sound very old timey, don't you?
Yeah. Yes. I'm going to see how much has changed. From Super Bowl I, which
he's
never
down at the two, and the tackle goes to number 59 and number 58, and Unitas is back up for the huddle, rounding the men around him, left to right, big to small. They break the huddle and spread out around the mighty quarterback in the black high tops. Eli Gold was there apparently.
Yeah, Eli was there. Of course he was. Reed. How many NASCAR races are this weekend? Because I feel like there's been a race every night this week.
That's a good question. The big one is on Sunday, the Coca-Cola 600 at Charlotte. There was a race yesterday. It was the rained-out Xfinity race from Darlington that was supposed to take place on Tuesday. That was a great finish in that one. If you did not see that and you are a NASCAR fan and don't normally catch the Xfinity series, or especially when it's a rain-delayed Xfinity race, you will want to go back and watch that. But the Coca-Cola 600 will be at Charlotte this weekend.
Paul, a brief Titans.
Is it up
note
against
here.
The golf? Is there any chance it's up against the golf? That would be bad if they have.
That's a night race, isn't it?
Well, no, it starts in the 600. It starts in the early afternoon and it extends into the evening. So it'll start in daylight and it'll finish under the lights in Charlotte.
Saturday or Sunday?
Sunday, same day as
yeah.
Same
so we've
day.
Got competition.
Yeah, well, yeah, the golf should be
the
golf may be wrapping up. It's a 4 p.m. is the start of the broadcast here on 104.5 The Zone for the Cook 600.
Man, I feel for David Reed this afternoon because I hear Skype lagging in my headset, and if we're getting closer to the weekend, if the internet's bogged down,
yeah, it's you're sounding
Reed
slightly
get to leave.
You're sounding slightly intoxicated right now.
Yeah, oh, yeah. He started drinking. It's a holiday weekend. You can only hold us back for so long.
Paul, I'm going to go out and come back in briefly. Give the update on the Titans schedule, and then we'll go to John McClain.
Yes, the Tennessee Titans have a schedule adjustment for the preseason. The preseason game at Washington on August 15th has been moved to 3 o'clock Central, and it will air now on WKRN as previously scheduled. It will be simulcast on the NFL network. So,
and now
national exposure. And we'll see if that game is in fact played. I don't have a problem. I'm kind of,
oh, we're not.
I guess I'll take a preseason game, but I'll take a preseason game over not having a preseason game because there'll be some developments. I don't know if I'm doing a note on all 90 players out of these games, a file that has previously nearly killed me.
Last year, though.
Huh?
Did you do it last year?
I don't even remember. Did I not do it last year?
Unfortunately not, because I enjoyed that. Oh. I didn't know anything about some of these, as you would pinpoint special teams. No one's looking at special teams, and that's how you make the back end of the roster.
All right, well, maybe this year I'll just do special
teams. Yeah, that's great. Because no one's doing that.
That's a good idea.
Yeah, but it's moved because it's on NFL Network.
Yes. And so it was originally 1 o'clock, right? So it's moved from 1 to 3.
Yeah, the one thing you're not going to hear me complain about if they cancel quote-unquote football games is if they reduce the preseason by 2 weeks.
Yeah, go ahead and get a head start on that. It's coming, right? It's going down to 3 anyway. So
yeah,
let's sample that. That I made that crack about when Mark Maskey said that reported that they're probably going to have this overhead judge extra official for the preseason, and then they'll cancel the preseason. So the test run of the booth official will be canceled. That'll be really helpful for getting data on how that works.
And while the preseason games may not matter to people, it matters to Vrabel because he's wanting to have a couple of joint practices that would coincide with playing those games. My guess would be one of those games is Tampa.
Yes, for sure.
And then you have another one at home if you can. But yeah, they want to, they would love to have two joint practices, and it's unlikely that would happen if you only have two preseason games.
Maybe you could do them anyway. Maybe you could do them anyway. I think maybe it puts more of a premium on them. If you're not having any games, need a scrimmage.
The two teams that are canceled in this scenario, can you schedule a joint practice with that team? I don't know. I mean,
go meet Atlanta in Chattanooga, which is something they've done before in their history.
Flowery Branch is where they went, 7 or 8 years ago?
Yeah, to their straight to Atlanta's facility. I mean, do one at home and one on the road. They're going to have to do something if they don't have games. Need some controlled scrimmage stuff.
John McClain joins us next. A lot to get to with some rules changes and news around the league. You can join him. Phone lines available. We'll open up the phones for the first time today. 615-737-1045, our number. 737-1045. NFL headlines, discussion, and NFL chatter next. Midday 180, queued up by Edley's Barbecue. John McClain with us on 1045 The Zone. Midday 180, queued up by Edley's Barbecue on 1045 The Zone. And a guy who has been on 104.5 The Zone for years, he'll know the exact year. We'll talk to him in just a moment. But first, a reminder, Edley's is excited to announce they are planning to open their East Nashville location on Monday, June 1st. We are thrilled for Will and Catherine and their entire team that it's a week from this coming Monday. It has been tough for them to get through the tornado damage and the pandemic, but they are getting back into the swing of things. You can smell the brisket on their East Nashville location if you drive by there. They're ready to go. Of course, they have all of the options right now at their 12 South location and their Sylvan Park location, but I bring them up for June 1st because they're hiring, and they've had a great response throughout this week of those who are interested in a job with Edley's Barbecue and their team. And they're still looking for people. They're hiring at all three locations, but starting with the East Nashville spot. If you're interested, edleysbbq.com/jobs, or swing by the Sylvan Park location and you can apply in person. Great news there. We're excited for Edley's returning on the East side. Excited also to talk with John McClain of the Houston Chronicle. He has covered the NFL for more than four decades. And John, you have been on this station, I know, for over two decades.
I could not tell you. All I know is I've been doing radio in Nashville since 1997, and I love every time you guys have me on. It's always a pleasure.
Love having you on to chat some NFL headlines as well, John. And we start by saying they are discussing a lot of different things, proposals for the NFL rules, starting with the onside kick. Paul and I were chatting earlier in the show. Get your opinion on this. I was a bit surprised that the reaction has been, yeah, go ahead, do away with it and bring in the 4th and 15. Maybe I'm wrong. I thought there would be more pushback on it, even though it's been floated out there and discussed as an option for the last couple of years.
I'd be shocked if the NFL owners voted for this. It's too radical. They don't ever consider something radical and then vote it immediately. And I think they would think it's too gimmicky. I don't know why they don't go back to the way used to be, because players were getting hurt on kickoff returns, not on onside kicks. But if they change it, that's fine. I love some of those XFL rules. I didn't pay any attention to the American Football Alliance, and I know that that's where it comes from. I'd be more inclined to take the XFL kickoff rule than I would the onside kick rule.
Other unintended consequence here, John, is that the clock runs during this play. So they're creating some excitement or an ability to get the ball back if you're trailing at the end of a game. But if I take a lead on you with a few seconds left in the game, I can now take this 4th and 15 chance and run out the clock.
Good point. I think that's something every coach would be looking at, because that would take more time. But, you know, the NFL moves slowly on things. And unless we've been kicking something around like the referee, the eye in the sky, which the players wanted last year, and the owners did not. So it was voted down in March of 2019. Now it's still out there, and it's getting a little more support. But you never know how the owners are going to vote when they get them. I'll say behind the scenes, it's on a teleconference call. A lot of times, if Goodell, and before that it was Tagliabue and Roselle as commissioners, if they want something done and they think it's good, they will call influential people in the league among the owners or the presidents or the general managers and ask them to call the others to help get support. When Paul Tagliabue wanted Bud Adams to vote a certain way, he would call Joe Brown, one of his right-hand men. Joe had been in the NFL since he was in the mailroom when he was 17 and worked his way up, and he knew all the owners. And he was close to several of them, including Bud. So Joe Brown would call Bud, talk to Bud, see what he thought, then say, well, you know, this is what Paul thinks. Paul really thinks this is important. We need your support. And Bud would usually do what he thought was best for the league, which was what the commissioner wanted.
The detail with this story goes, it's the top story at NFL.com as I look at it right now, Paul. And the headline is 4th and 15 proposal update, trailing not required. So not only have they considered this and said, yeah, we're not considering the trailing aspect of the rule, they're saying they don't want it. They don't want it in the rule.
Yeah.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I just wish, John, that they would allow for, like you said, the regular onside kick. It's been legislated out of the game that what Sean Payton did to the Colts that swung a Super Bowl and changed the tone of an entire game coming out of halftime can't happen.
Jimmy Johnson did it in the Super Bowl. I think Bill Cowher did it. They were, you know, caught people by surprise, took chances, and worked. You know, it didn't have a high percentage, but you still knew there was a chance. And now when you see an onside kick, you know there's no chance. It takes a Music City miracle to get an onside kick and the way the rules are written. I almost wish they would say, okay, all right, we trail. We're going to do an onside kick. So we're telling you. And in that instance, you go back to the old rules and give them a chance. But I just don't see this being approved. Not at this point, maybe next year.
John, were you surprised at all? Maybe that's the wrong word. Maybe you thought this would happen, that NFL owners tabled the resolution on incentivizing the hiring of minority coaches and general managers?
No, I'm not surprised at all. They should have. That's another one out of left field. There's no need to approve anything like that right now. Nobody's getting hired. Nobody's getting fired. And so I will say this, they already reward incompetence in the draft. So if you're terrible year in and year out, you keep getting high picks. Do you want to keep rewarding incompetence that if a team changes head coaches every 2 or 3 years and hires a minority, they keep getting their draft position enhanced? That's not fair to the organizations that are good. I like the plan where you give compensatory picks to organizations who lose minorities, whether it's in coach or front office, because then you're rewarding people for hiring minorities, developing those minorities, and then you give compensatory picks for losing players. Why not give compensatory picks for helping the situation for more minorities to get hired rather than doing that preposterous proposal that Tony Dungy, Anthony Lynn, Marvin Lewis, they were all against it.
Do you think they put it out? I've seen some theorizing. He put out like such an extreme thing, got the conversation going, then didn't even put it out for a vote and took lesser stuff, which maybe is what they wanted in the first place, the coordinator stuff.
Yeah, I think it's great that they can't turn down position coaches who are under contract to keep them from interviewing for coordinator jobs. Because I know, and I can think of off the top of my head several instances where position coaches, including minorities, were turned down. And I think that was good to pass it. I like this other idea for them to do it maybe at the meeting in the summer. You know, they've got a lot of problems right now to worry about besides pushing through a rule that so many people are against. But if the idea was to get people to talk about it, it was a stroke of genius, because at a time like this, anything that's newsy is quadruple newsy because we don't have live events.
John McClain with us. Two segments on Fridays. The second for your phone calls at 615-737-1045. Your favorite team, player, AFC South discussion, Titans discussion. It's all available for you. 737-1045 if you'd like to join John McClain for some NFL talk. When we come back, we'll discuss Brady and the wide receivers and offensive line. Consider this question during the break, guys. What's the percentage of quarterbacks across the league who are working with wide receivers right now? Because we know that Brady and his crew, they had been working like that for weeks. And Rick Stroud with the Tampa Bay Times finally got word of it and went there and publicized it. I'm curious what we think of the 32 starting quarterbacks and how many are working out somewhere with teammates that aren't being reported. Midday 180, queued up by Edley's Barbecue, 104.5 The Zone. Barbecue, John McClain with us, and you can join him at 615-737-1045, our number. John, Paul, what's the percentage of quarterbacks, starting quarterbacks, that you think are somewhere in an open state or legally outside social distancing or not, whatever you want to call it, doing the exact same thing Brady is doing right now with teammates? John?
Go ahead, Paul. Or you want me to go first? Well, I don't have any clue, but if it's legal, and I'm sure nobody's social distancing as we saw Dak Prescott and his receivers early on, I would guess probably 60 or 70% of them, assuming that they're in the same city.
I would think 55, 60 and growing as things open up and guys are able to travel.
We know of two. We know of Brady. We know of Tannehill. Tannehill is doing this with Jonnu Smith.
Lamar Jackson's doing it with Hollywood Brown in South Florida. So yep. Guys that happen to be together are one thing. I don't know if all those guys were there for Brady. I mean, there were probably a bunch of guys around Tampa, and it wasn't a full stable. It was just a good handful of guys. So I think it'll grow, and I think there's time. For people to catch up and get in good work still in those group settings, which are now not nearly as taboo as they were.
Hey, Paul and Jonathan, I want to tell you guys something while I'm thinking about it. Yesterday I had lunch with Steve Underwood, and yes, we practiced social distancing, and I wasn't interviewing him or anything. We were just talking about old times. And I don't think it would bother Steve that I tell you guys this, but in the course of the conversation, and I've been talking to Steve for 40 years through different eras of Oilers/Titans football, and he is so impressed about the Titans organization right now, you know, starting with Amy, of course, the guy that took his place. He just loves Mike Vrabel and John Robinson and, you know, what Tannehill was able to do and getting him the contract and Derrick Henry. So Steve was just really, really talking about it, what a great place the Titans are in right now. And I thought you guys would want to know it.
That's good. Do you have you said lunch?
Yeah.
Did really? He pay or did you pay?
He paid.
There you go, John.
It really is kind of the first peaceful transfer of power. At this level. Not that there have been a lot of transfers of power, but it's a good thing. John, what's going on with Dak Prescott? I mean, how long could this go on, and what's he thinking turning down that level of money? I mean, he's a good player. He's not a guy that should automatically even top the market temporarily, and here's a chance to do that, and he's scoffing at it.
He would have a hard time getting in my top 10 if it was for one season. And I'm not sure then, you know, we don't know about the numbers that we see. Talking about $35 million, the bottom line is, to me, is how much you get guaranteed. And he's going to get over $100 million guaranteed, because that's going right for guys that have been multi-year starters with their franchise, especially guys that were drafted by that franchise. And, you know, whether it's 35, 34, 36, he's got until July 15th for franchise players to sign a long-term deal, or he can't do it. Nothing's going to happen with Mahomes or Watson before they know what's going on with Prescott. But if I'm a player and an owner's offering me over $100 million guaranteed, knowing that that owner could take a financial bath this year with possibility of fans not being in the stands, I'm going to take it. And if I think, well, I'll wait till next year, well, if the owners have taken a financial bath this year, it's going to be reflected in the salary cap. There's just too many unknowns. To me, if you're offered a fair deal, instead of trying to say, I'm the highest paid, and I don't know what the deal is with his agent, but you guys know so many times when an agent is negotiating contract, he's negotiating for his next contract. He doesn't want something that doesn't come in the best and then have other agents use it against him when he's trying to get new clients. And so much of this is about ego instead of common sense.
Would you be doing much extending of guys right now, even special cases, not knowing what the finances of this season hold, not knowing what they're going to be able to negotiate next year in terms of salary cap, if by the nature of the numbers?
I think most of the time, if you do it now, it's going to be cheaper if you do it 2 years from now when things you think will be back to normal. If I'm a multi-billionaire, like all of them are, but Mike Brown and Mark Davis, and you never know about debt and families and all that, but if you are a multi-billionaire, kind of money we're talking about for one team is not as big a deal as it would be to us when we see these losses, which are staggering. You know, they're you know, not chump change, but not as big a deal. And so I would think, I know the Texans would like to re-sign Deshaun Watkins before next season, and I think he's going to get around $40 million. I have no idea on the guarantee, the years, or anything, but they can't do it until both sides want to negotiate, and that hasn't happened.
One of the topics on our discussion list today is that LA Stadium and more loans and more money needed in terms of cash being available to the franchise. Kenny the Mailman next up with the latest there and the latest question he has for John McClain. What's up, Kenny?
John, how are you doing, buddy?
Kenny, I'm doing great. I hope you are. I hope you're staying safe.
I am. We go way back. Listen, yes, can you explain so everybody can understand this ever-changing plan for the stadium? I've heard about four plans now. And still, it's just heartbreaking that they couldn't figure out a plan to get a stadium in San Diego, but they got about five for L.A. Thank you, and we'll be listening.
Okay, thank you very much, and I hope you're doing well and staying safe. The problem in San Diego, they had a referendum, and they wanted public money, and the public said no. Public won't give money in California. They haven't done that since the Giants built their baseball stadium with private money. So Stan Kroenke comes along, he's going to build a stadium supposed to be $2.5 billion. It's going to be a commercial as well as residential as a complex. It's going to house the NFL Network. They're going to have room for the combine, the draft. Everything they could possibly want will be right there on the premises. Well, you guys know the longer these things take, the more the price goes up. And right now, they're talking $5 billion to finish, which means it might be six. There's no guarantee it's going to be ready for the start of the season if they start the season on time. So he's just gotten his second loan, and I believe he's going to pay back 30 years, which he'll be dead for a long time before it gets paid back. The NFL loans a lot of money to the owners, and it's always interesting considering so many of them are worth billions that they need help, but Kroenke is getting it. And that the value, the more expensive the stadium is, the more his value goes up because he gets every penny out of it. One of the big problems for him, Kenny, the Chargers were supposed to bring in hundreds of millions of dollars to get a cheap rent in PSLs, and the projections are that Stan Kroenke is going to get $300 million less from the Chargers than he had earmarked, and that's just right now. And once they start playing, it could be a lot more than that. So it seems like it's a pretty stupid deal to do. He'd have been better off building the Chargers a stadium in San Diego and doing this one by himself.
While we're talking L.A., the Cowboys are also playing out in L.A. twice. They already hold their traditional training camp out in California. And we know the presence that they have whenever they play a game out west. Jerry Jones has to be thrilled that he gets a preseason game in L.A. and a regular season game in L.A.
Yeah, Jerry, at one point, if he hadn't gotten his stadium in Arlington, which we all knew he would get, but one of the reasons they moved back out there for training camp, they've been in Thousand Oaks forever under Tom Landry, but they came back to Texas under Jimmy Johnson, was just the idea that L.A. would try to build it, would build them a stadium to lure the Cowboys to L.A. And boy, he got that stadium built in no time in Arlington because the fans didn't even want to think about that.
That's crazy to think about.
I know.
I've been at that training camp. I'm sure it's been revamped since, but the Raiders trained there the year I covered them in Oxnard. It's not the hottest place in the world to train. It's pretty glorious with the fog rolling out in the morning.
Yeah, the ones that have it the toughest are the media that stay at a Marriott on the beach with a walkway behind it and an In-N-Out burger in the parking lot, and they complain it's too cold in the mornings in the summer and they have to wear a jacket before it's too cold. And I tell them where they can stick that jacket.
John McClain joins us twice a week. John, have a safe Memorial Day, and we will catch up on Tuesday with you.
That sounds great, guys. Thank you, Paul and Jonathan. Y'all have a great week and stay safe.
Yeah, same to you, John. Thank you. John McClain on Twitter at McClain_on_NFL. You can also read all of his work at cron.com with the latest NFL columns and Texans coverage online there. Still time to get on the lines and jump in if you'd like to. We're going to wrap up the show, look ahead to next week, and tell you about an announcement we'll have on Tuesday. Or I just did. We're having an announcement on Tuesday.
Announced that we're going to have an announcement.
Yeah, but we're not going to have the information for you on the announcement until Tuesday, Paul.
The announcing of the announcing of information.
We want Chad here. That's why. Midday 180, queued up by Edley's Barbecue, 104.5 The Zone. Wrapping up a fun week on the Midday 180, queued up by Edley's Barbecue. It's Javon Kearse, Eddie George, Jim Washburn, David Poyle, Bill Polian, Mike Keith, leaving so many out. Of course, Greg Cosell, all the regulars, all online. Midday180.com, wherever you download your podcasts. Midday 180 on demand. You can listen this weekend. You can also check out via Facebook Watch or on YouTube through the 104.5 The Zone YouTube channel, our chat with Eddie George, which will be a part of our 180 weekend watch, where from time to time we'll be posting some chats via Skype from our home offices with some of the guests that you love hearing from. David Reed has done ample work. Props, by the way, to David Reed, who is pulling double duty all week. He's done a phenomenal job for the show and always has. But also Jonathan Schaefer, who I believe is headed to furlough next week. And not props for that, but I believe this is his first week off since he took over as the interim program director and went through a tornado relief and a pandemic. Props to you, Schaefer.
Great job.
Yeah, and just recalling that you're getting a week off, I know it's under terrible circumstances with the furlough, but enjoy it. You deserve it, man. Great job. And
anybody props that gets a week off from Mark is probably long overdue. Just kidding, Mark. Don't call. Don't at. you'll be fine. Everybody will be fine. I didn't even say that. Are we on the air?
Who knows?
I don't think we're on the air.
No, nah, we're on the air. Reed's producing. We're on the air. He may be on the air, too, momentarily with an update. We We are eager to get Chad Withrow back on Tuesday. I keep wanting to say Monday. We're off Monday for Memorial Day on Tuesday because we have a show announcement that we'll tell you about. It involves something we're doing while we're sitting at home and not going to the office or going to the studio each day. So we're thrilled about that, and it's another chance to listen to some of the interviews we have. So it's going to be fun.
Yes, additional consumption methods.
Paul, the most commonly asked question in your Periscope / Facebook Live chat with PaulKuharsky.com members yesterday was?
I don't know that it was that repetitive. There's always the clowny question. People want to know about the clowny question. I've got my standard answer that our timetable, fan timetable, is the only one that's got a ticking clock right now. Clowny doesn't. Titans, I don't think, desperate for him to be in Zoom meetings, which are not going to key the success or failure of his addition right now. So that was a big one. We had a good time in there yesterday. I busted out a drink. My wife and son were resting, napping, watching Garfield yesterday afternoon, and I was not in a napping mode. And so I busted out an early cocktail and drank, vented, and chatted with the people, kind of a continuation of the show, and it felt good. Felt good. So that's still out there. And I don't think it was particularly repetitive, which was good and somewhat surprising. Yeah, it gets repetitive at the end when people come in with the same questions that were asked and answered at the beginning when I start referring them back to rewatch.
I am beginning season 4 of The Wire this weekend. Next week we'll have part 3, the third season review of The Wire on the Midday 180 podcast channel. So looking forward to getting that back recorded.
I'm going through one of those difficulties where I think I fell asleep watching it last night, in which case 3 or 4 episodes play. And now I have to go through
figuring out
where I left off, which is, as you all know, a real, real burden.
What are you listening to other than Springsteen right now? You pointed out that the majority of the country is going back and listening to older music during this time.
I'm not listening to much music, to be honest with you. Most of my music listening happens in the car. And like Same. Most people, I'm hardly in the car. I'm also pretty behind on Howard Stern, though I listen to Howard Stern often when I'm working on PK.com stuff. But it was interesting to me to see reports about Spotify in particular, where pop music and relatively new releases by very popular artists are not doing well, and people are listening in higher quantities to older stuff. They're calling it kind of comfort music. They cited 3 artists, Bob Marley, the Dixie Chicks, and Bill Withers, who died last month of Lean On Me fame. But people are going back to their oldies, not oldies. Oldies sounds like stuff from the 40s and 50s to me, but to their comfortable music of their younger years, I think, as opposed to listening to choosing when they're choosing what to listen to. They're not choosing new stuff or newer stuff. They're going back.
I still gravitate to high school and college music for sure.
I think a lot of people do. I think as you get older, you do. I wish I could remember who said it and how old it was, because I remember John Clayton. I don't know why I put this in the same category, saying nobody makes real money until they're 40, which I found reassuring in my 30s. but he also somebody also said, like, nobody really adopts new music after X age.
Yeah.
Which I think is true. You hear it maybe through your kids, or maybe find something catchy. Like, I like Billie Eilish, but I don't like I like Post Malone a little bit. But most of what I hear on my kids' radio station, I think, is garbage. You turn
into a new era, yeah.
And then you listen to your stuff, and I'm much more prone to like your Dave Matthews, who's always going to be your anchor. That's why it drives me crazy that Simon's already done with Imagine Dragons. And I'm like, how could you be done with Imagine Dragons? That's like your foundational band.
Yeah, but it's not the formative band yet for him.
No.
That will come.
Comes in the next 10 years, yes. Not in the last.
Fun week. fun week, and we are back at it on Tuesday. Hit the podcast, hit the Twitter account. The big news today through the SEC, they're allowing athletes back on campus for voluntary workouts starting June 8th. More on that coming with 3HL. David Reed will have the headlines for you as well.
We enjoyed it. We hope you did too. Reed, power through. Four more hours, baby. Don't lock the locks. Do lock the locks.